amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What powerful music we've had, and what a blessing it is to be in church to be able to be ministered to through that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 22 and read down to verse 33. Matthew chapter 14. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you again this morning, we thank you for the privilege it has been just to be in this service and for what we've already experienced. And Lord, I pray that that's something that would continue to minister to us even throughout the week. But now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, I believe that you have a message for each one that's here today through this passage of Scripture. And I pray that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again. I ask, God, that you would use me to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, here we find in Matthew chapter 14, the disciples were on a ship in the middle of a storm. And from time to time, I think that all of us can identify with the feeling of being in the middle of a storm and pitch black all around us and fearful of our lives, not knowing what's going to happen in the midst of the storm and how we're going to get through it and what it's going to be like on the other side. Because there are many storms on our journey through life. And most of us have experienced some storms. And if you have not, they're coming. Be prepared for them. And not only have we experienced them, as long as we live for much longer, we'll experience even more storms. Today, I think that, I don't know, it's winter time, whatever it is, but it seems like people struggle more in the winter time here in Indiana than any other time of the year. And I don't know, there's more sickness and there's all different things going on, the cold weather. I don't know if that brings out things, but I sense that there's a lot of our membership struggling with different things, with storms and in your own life this morning. And I believe this is why the Lord has revealed this as a passage of Scripture that He would have us to preach on this morning, because I'm going to preach a message that I've entitled, What to Do in a Storm. What to do in a storm. As Jesus was discipling the apostles, they would experience many highs and lows. They would be up and they would be down. A lot of different things taking place. Even in this one chapter, in chapter 14, we find in the first of chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, they experienced the beheading of John the Baptist. John was a tremendous, powerful servant of the Lord, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of Jesus' disciples were actually heard John before they ever heard Jesus. And they listened, and many of them were converted. And then John pointed them to Jesus to follow after him. And they, in this one chapter, they first of all, we find that they have to experience one of God's choice servants being beheaded and trying to come to grips with how could God allow that to happen and the meaning of all that. And of course, now we have the completion of the Bible, and so we look back and we know exactly why John had fulfilled the purpose that God had for him in this life, and then God was going to be glorified not only through his life, but he would be glorified through his homegoing, and John would ascend up to heaven. And we understand that, but they did not understand all of that at this time. And so they're experiencing the loss of someone very powerful, had a very powerful influence in their lives, John the Baptist. But then right after that, verses 14 down to verse 21, we find that they experienced Jesus healing the sick. And they saw Jesus performing all these miracles of healing the sick and the blind and the lame. And then right after that, we find that he feeds 5,000 men. And the disciples, the apostles, were a part of that. They knew that they only had a limited resource of food and bread. And yet, as Jesus blessed it and gave to them, that they were able to bring back more than what they had to begin with after feeding 5,000 men and their families. I mean, what a high that would have been. What a hallelujah. After the low of experiencing the death of John the Baptist, and right after that, Jesus knowing and God knowing that they needed something to lift up their spirits, and they were able to experience all the miracles of what Christ had done in the feeding of the 5,000. No doubt they were once again on shouting ground again. I mean, praise the Lord for that when you see that kind of thing. But then right after that, we find that they're experiencing being in a storm. They believe they're going to die. If we would read not only Matthew's account of this, but we would read Mark's and Luke's account of this, then we know that their ship was out of control. The winds had blown them off course, and they were out in the middle of the sea, and they were trying to do everything they could to row back, and it was useless. I mean, they weren't able to control the ship, and so they were in the middle of the sea, and they were in great danger. The danger was possibly a loss of life. After all this, all the apostles were on that ship. This would be the ones that Jesus would turn things over to after he would ascend and go on to glory to continue the New Testament church. Now they find themselves in the midst of a great storm. In Matthew chapter 14, in verse 32 and verse 33, the Bible says, "And when they were come into the ship," that was Jesus and Peter, after Peter got out, now Jesus and Peter get back into the ship, the Bible says, "And the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." They were in the midst of a storm. But we read verse 32 and verse 33, and we see how it ends. It tells how this experience ended. It ended with the wind ceasing and all of them now worshiping Jesus and knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was the Messiah. He was the very Son of God. What a blessing it is for us to study the different experiences that the disciples went through, because they went through them for our learning, for our understanding, and then to find out how it ended for them. And we say, hallelujah, I want my storm to end that way. I want my storm to end with calm winds. Praise the Lord for calm winds. And I want my storm to end with being even closer to God than what I was when I went into it. Being more confident of what I believe on my knees before the very Son of God, my personal Lord and personal Savior. That's how we want it to end. If we want it to end that way, then we must do what they did. And I believe that's why God has given to us this event in the life of His apostles, being in the midst of the storm. What to do in a storm? The first thing that they had to be aware of, and I think the first thing that you need to ask yourself is this: am I where God wants me to be? You see, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 down to verse 24, we find that Jesus put them on this ship. Matter of fact, in verse 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." That word "constrained" there means to be forced or to be compelled. In other words, when it came time, Jesus, being the Son of God, knew exactly what was going to take place. He knew ahead of time what they were going to experience during this storm. And we find that Jesus himself, they really didn't have a choice. If they were going to follow him, they were going to do what he told them to do. And this was something that he did not say, if you want to stay, you can stay. If you want to go, you can go. There was not an option to stay. The Bible says he constrained them. He said, get on the ship. And so all the apostles understood that they were not on the ship because they chose to be on the ship. They were on the ship because Jesus constrained them and told them, this is my will for your life. Get on the ship. They had no doubts that they were, while they were in the midst of the storm, that they had been put on that ship by Jesus. Now I wonder, am I where God wants me to be? God's will for all humanity is that all would be saved. If you're not saved and you're in the middle of a storm, you don't have Christ to turn to. You don't have the assurance that all things are going to work together for my good because I am called and I do love the Lord. If you don't know that you are saved, then you cannot know that you are where God wants you to be. Because the Bible says if you're lost, if you've never been saved, you are dead in your trespasses and sin. As far as your relationship with God, you do not have a God to turn to. You do not have a Holy Spirit that dwells within you. You do not have a Savior in Jesus Christ because you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And so you don't have God to turn to. As you go through the storms of your life, what a miserable thought to think that I do not have someone, an Almighty God, to turn to. If I know that I'm saved, then I know that God is very much aware of where I'm at. I know that God loves me because He sent His Son to die for me. I know that God has a purpose and a plan for my life. But the first thing that you have to ask yourself, if you're in the midst of a storm, do I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am saved? Because God wants you to know that, and we can know that based upon 1 John chapter 5. We can know these things. Once you get that settled, then the second thing, as far as knowing where God wants me to be, have you been scripturally baptized? That means, have you sought to publicly identify with Jesus Christ and not be ashamed to let anyone know that I'm saved, that I'm a Christian? You try to live your life as trying to hide the fact that you are a Christian because you don't want to be accountable to the world, to your coworkers, or to your family, your friends, of the testimony of Christ. No, we should not be ashamed of the testimony of Christ. We ought to want people to understand that I am saved and I live differently because I am a child of God's. Baptism allows you to publicly identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to publicly make a statement that says, I don't care who knows, I want everyone to know that I am saved and I want to identify my life and my lifestyle with Christianity, with Christ. If you're in the midst of a storm and you are not where God wants you to be, you're not saved and you're not baptized, then you don't have God to look to. No doubt it's God's will that we be saved and baptized. It's also God's will that we be a member of a local, independent, fundamental Baptist church. You say, is that in Scripture? Yes, amen. John the Baptist, amen. He's the one that got it all running. John the Baptizer. And can I tell you that the doctrine that sets the Baptists aside from most other Christian doctrine is the idea of baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. You can't work your way to heaven. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But once you're saved, then you want to identify with him through baptism. And as you identify with him through baptism, in order to have biblical baptism, you have to have the authority that God give to baptize. And that's the authority of a local New Testament church that has the doctrines of Christ. And it's the doctrines of Christ that make me Baptist. If you study the Bible and you understand what Jesus Christ taught and you look to the doctrines of religions today, you'll find yourself in an independent, fundamental, New Testament Baptist church because the Bible makes me that. Being a member of that church, God plants everyone that gets saved into a local body so that you might be able to use the talents and abilities that God has blessed you with to be able to strengthen that local body so that that local body can do what God has called the church to do and all of its members included, and that is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to set a testimony of light in the midst of a dark world. Praise God for the Lighthouse Baptist Church and every member of this church is actually to go out and to be the light for whatever part of your world that you're in. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you are to represent not only Jesus Christ, but you are to represent the church that he planted you in. And not to be ashamed of that. So I ask myself, am I where God wants me to be? If I'm not saved, I'm not. If I'm not saved and baptized, I'm not. If I'm not saved, baptized, and a member of a New Testament church, I'm not. If I am not growing in my understanding and knowledge of the Bible, I'm not, because God does not want us to be babies for the rest of our lives. He relates our Christian growth as to infancy. As we are saved, we are born again. We're born into the family of God. We are born as babes in Christ. And as we are to grow spiritually, it's not automatic. We have to desire the milk of the word and then the meat of the word. And as we desire to have the knowledge and understanding of the scriptures, then I am growing into maturity, into being a perfect man, which is a mature Christian. That's what the Bible reveals as being perfect, is not being sinless, but being mature in my faith, being mature in my understanding of the doctrines and the very words of God. Can I tell you, that is exactly where God wants us to be today. Are you where God wants you to be? If you're not there, then you're out there in the storm without God's help. You might be in the storm to get you to turn to God for help. So what to do in a storm? Ask ourselves, am I where God wants me to be? The disciples would question, why are we on this ship? And all of them would have to say, because we were constrained to be put on the ship. He put us on the ship. No doubt about that. When they were in there and out in the midst of that storm, they knew why they were on that ship. The second thing is you have to ask yourself, do I believe that God can help me? You're in the midst of a storm. You're battling whatever it might be today. Do you truly believe that God is able? Do you truly have faith to know that no matter what your need is, no matter what your concerns are, no matter how severe the storm that you find yourself in, God can help me? We must know that he can. As we know that he can, we must listen to his voice. In verse 25, the Bible says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The fourth watch. They were 9 hours into the storm. 9 hours. So they had, and they had been fighting this. Now this is at night at this point. And so the only light they have is probably no moonlight. There's no stars out because of storm. It is pitch black. And the wind is throwing this ship and the waves, they probably can't even see just how high the waves are. They just know that they can barely hang on. And they're trying to row to get through it and they're not making any headway. And they know they're in the midst of this storm and it's very likely without God's help, they're going to perish in the midst of the storm. They had 9 hours to think about what was going on. And after 9 hours, Jesus came. But he came walking on the sea. I don't know, it was very pitch black, but somehow he had a glow about himself because they were actually able to see him. And they're looking over the side of the ship and they see what would appear to be an angel or some kind of a spiritual creature, heavenly creature, with the appearance of Jesus Christ. They seen this glow and identified him as Jesus walking on the water. And the Bible says, once they saw it, they cried out for fear. Because if you start seeing angels or spiritual creatures, realize you're going to heaven. The only way that you're going to be able to see them is to be departing from this physical life. And they start crying out for fear because they thought, this is it. We know it's over now. We're seeing spirits. We're seeing angels. They start crying out for fear because their fear was it was going to perish. And now it's confirmed. They see Jesus walking on the water. It's an impossibility for a man to walk on water, especially in the midst of a storm. So surely they thought they were going to die. But they listened to his message. When they were crying, and the Bible didn't say what they cried out for, but they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. They listened to his message. If you believe that God can help you, then you'll listen to him. When God speaks to you or attempts to speak to you, you will listen. Because I know that he can help me. You see, when you're going through a storm, the last thing you want to do is stay away from church. Because when you come to church, you realize that he's established it, and you realize that he has promised to be in the midst with us, and you realize that he's going to use the church services to speak to us. If you weren't listening to the music today, you missed out on help. You missed out on something that God wanted to minister to your soul. I don't care what you're going through, what storms of life, what you're facing right now, what you're battling right now, because you were here and you had an opportunity to listen to the congregational music, you had an opportunity to listen to the choir special, you had an opportunity to listen to the message, a song from the other specials we had this morning. Listen to me, if you really knew that God could help you and you were here to worship him, then you were listening and you've already been blessed by what you've heard. Because if you really believe that God is able to help you in the middle of your storm, you'll listen. You'll listen. Be of good cheer. Storms all around you. Waves blowing. Wind tossing the ship. And you want me to be happy? You want me to have joy? And you want me not to be afraid? If you know who he is. He's walking on water to prove that he's not just a mere ordinary man. This is God manifested in the flesh, this was God's only begotten Son. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter was the first to be helped by it. I love that. Peter's fear turned into fun. If we're going to be out here and you tell me to be a good cheer, there's nothing to worry about, then I'm going to enjoy it. Let me walk on the water with you. Amen. If I'm not supposed to fear and I'm supposed to be a good cheer, even while the wind's blowing and the waves are crashing and the ship is going tossed to and fro, Peter says, if I'm truly to believe that, then I am not going to fear. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to get as much out of this experience as possible. And if this is true, allow me to walk on the water to come to you. Listen to me. It's like going to the amusement parks. And you've read about these rides, and maybe it's a new ride, and you've read about them, and you've seen pictures. If you have heart problems, you can't go on this, and this is going on, and you got to hold on tight. You got to make sure you're buckled in. All these things are to get you a little bit fearful of, anxious and thinking, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this ride or not. And didn't I hear about somebody dying on this at some point, some time ago? No doubt this new ride, I mean, it's not all that safe. They just try to make you think it's safe. It's really not that safe. And all these things going through your mind the first time you've ever gotten on that ride, and you're kind of fearful and you're saying, I don't know if I should do this or not. And you go ahead and say, all right, buckle me in because the line's too thick and you can't get back out. I mean, you have to go now. You're there. And they buckle you in. You're so fearful and you... They take off and you, Lord, help me, be with me, get me through this, please. I'll never ride it again if you do this. And then you start going through there, and after the first couple scary rides, and then you start realizing, you know, this is pretty secure. And there's some people, some idiots up there, holding their hands up during the whole ride. And before you know it, by the end of the ride, you realize, I'm going to make it through this. And you know, that wasn't all that scary. That actually was kind of fun. And you get off and you say, let's do it again. Let's get back in line. And you turn the fear into fun. And I don't know that the trial or the storm that you're going through, you're going to get any fun, but you can have joy. When you understand that He's watching over you. He has a purpose for that storm. And He wants you to be a good cheer and realize it. He wants you to rejoice. Yeah. He wants you to look to Him and find joy. Not necessarily in the storm, but find the joy in looking to Him in the midst of the storm. Wow. Ask yourself, do I believe that God can help me? Because if you truly believe that God can help you and you know you're where God has planted you, yeah, you can be of good cheer. And the last thing, ask yourself, what is expected or required of me in this storm? What are God's expectations of me while I'm in this storm? Verse 29. And He said to Peter, who said, all right, if I'm going to be out here, might as well enjoy it. Let me get all I can out of this experience. You're on the water. That means that if you can walk on it, you can enable me to walk on it. The only man, human, to ever walk on water, amen, outside of Jesus, who was the God-man, was Peter. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, He walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's a powerful statement right there. I think I might be having some fun now. Amen. I'm getting more out of this experience than any of those that stayed on the ship at this point. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, listen, this is what was expected. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You had enough faith to not be afraid. You had enough faith to listen to my voice. You had enough faith to get the most out of that experience. You had enough faith, Peter had enough faith to walk on water. Why did you lose it? Why did you turn away from it? Why did you look to the wind instead of to Christ and to me? Because when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the storm is when he started to sink. When he walked on water, he had the faith to keep his eyes on Christ, not on anyone else, on the one that will never let you down, the one who has the power to sustain thee. Don't ever stop looking to him. I'm not required or expected to stop the storm. Can't do that. Wasn't expected. Peter, you don't have to stop the storm before you get out into the water. You don't have to do that. Just keep your eyes on me. All I'm expecting from you, the only thing that you have to do is don't lose your faith. Don't let doubt creep in. Stay focused on me. Wasn't required to stop the storm or to keep the wind from blowing. He could not do either one of those things. God never expects out of us that which we cannot do. But he does expect us to do what we can. I'm required to stay focused on Christ and to keep my faith. Genuine faith, no matter what the storms, will lead to worship. Genuine faith. When they got back on the ship, the end of it, the wind ceased. And all of them now, even Peter, had no doubt in their mind at this point that Jesus was the Son of God. He calmed the seas. And they bowed down because of this experience, because of this storm. And they worshiped him. See, that was the purpose for God allowing the storm. No different for us today. It's the purpose of God allowing the storms. Am I where God wants me to be? Do I believe that God can help? Know what's required. And don't ever stop believing. Don't ever take your eyes off the Savior. What to do in the midst of the storm. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. I want it to turn out the way that it did for the apostles. I believe that every storm that you go through can turn out that way if you do what God wants you to do in the midst of the storm. Let me ask you today, what are you doing in the midst of your storm? If you're not doing what God expected the apostles to do, you need to turn and start doing what's expected of you to do. Father, we bow before you. And we do love you, Lord God. And we thank you that as your children, you do keep a watch over us. And you do have purpose for whatever you allow into our lives. And I pray, God, that we would be strong enough to stay focused on the help that's available to us. I pray, God, for each one that's going through some trials right now that are here today, for each one that might be out in the midst of that storm, that this message would speak loudly to them, and they would be able to do these things and find that help, that grace to help that you have available to them. Bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.